Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette, and I want to thank you and welcome you for joining me here for another exciting episode here at Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments. I want to first, like I said, always start off by thanking my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning. And I truly hope that the listeners are able to hear me. As you guys know, sometimes I'll be having difficulties with this technology. So before we get started, or as we start, like I said, I want to talk about our topic today. Now, the topic for today has to do with stopping abuse. Now, a lot of times before we realize we need to stop something, we have to first become aware of what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and reasons for us having to stop that. Now, what has happened to respecting your elders? Or honor thy mother, thy father, so that thy days will be longer here on earth. We know that Mother's Day is approaching, which is on May the 14th. Now, I might also know as Precious breast cancer in 2008, before she can even become age 65, to be considered a senior citizen. I also have many friends and other family members or extended family members that have also lost either their parents or grandparents. What I want you guys to know is there is what's called a silent crime against seniors. And that crime is actually on rise because each year, thousands of seniors age 65 and older are either abused, neglected, and exploited. The problem is few report the abuse often because they're afraid. Many seniors cannot take help, and in most cases, they rely on trusted family members, friends, and even spouses to help meet their needs, only to become abused, either by way of physical abuse, psychological, emotional, financial, sexual, neglect, abandonment, self-neglect, institutional abuse, and even domestic violence. Now, the key here is to prevent and to intervene. And in order to do that, we have to first have the ability to recognize the warning signs and to get the senior some help and the person that is perhaps doing the abuse. Now, if you are caring for an aging parent, concerned about your neighbor, friend, family members, that they're being mistreated, give us a call. You can call in at 516-387-1914. And I also, when I went on my FaceTime, I indicated that this show is also dedicated and in honor to two individuals that was very close to me. One was Zettie Mae Harvest, and the other one is Edwin Adams. Because what I saw, and it taught me a lot about elder abuse, and even as I tried to intervene, I learned a lot. And I myself, you know, I'm in my 50s and 60s, right around the corner, and it's funny because one of my daughter-in-laws just went on FaceTime, and I told her, she said she needs to listen to this show. I said, yes, you do, because I'm not having it, because I'm calling a po-po. So you ain't going to be trying to abuse me. So let me join my guest. Here we go. Hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Good. This is Christy. How are you?
I am well, because I was hunting you down. I was like, look, I'm a texter. I'm going to send her a message. I'm going to do all of that because she better not leave me hanging. So I want to thank you for joining me as we talk about this topic, because as you know how I do things, and I still be running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and my little email circle thing is still going a circle, 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 trying to get some of the emails that I sent. Now,
okay,
in regards to elder abuse and the awareness and stopping it, why is this topic dear to you?
Well, I know when I was little, my great-grandfather, we used to go see him in a convalescent home. And I recall that we used to see him. He would have an odor. He would be in a wet diaper, things of that nature. So my grandfather, my grandmother were finding out that he was being abused and neglected in the convalescent home. Mm-hmm. And that is very much what's going on now today. Adult children have to stay on top of adult caregivers, mm-hmm. Elder caregivers. And also we found out that he had bed sores, things of that nature. So there's a lot of abuse that is going on in these places, these facilities. Mm-hmm. And it has to be attention needs to be given to it as well. It's not as popular or as in demand as it is for child abuse right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we as adults need to keep a close eye on the caregivers that are caring for our elders. Also, there have been people that I've known that have in-house caregivers, mm-hmm. and they have video cameras in the home, and they're noticing that they're being abused as well. So it's very traumatic to these mm-hmm. Elders, and attention needs to be given to that.
Correct. And not only that, Christy, attention and awareness, because one of the things that I've learned is a lot of senior citizens are afraid of residential care. And I'm not trying to badmouth, because it's not the facility. Sometimes it's the people that work for the facility. And sometimes they be kind of stressed out. And they have a lot of things mm-hmm. going on with them personally. And to go to work and carry that mm-hmm. stress, it's like they take it out on other people. And we do need to be more aware. And it's like you know, personally, even my mother, I remember when she passed at age 59, and she didn't even want to go in hospice care. And when she got sick from cancer and got to the point where she couldn't take care of herself, she didn't want to be a burden on nobody else. And mm-hmm. that was part of, you know, what she was dealing with was, I remember when they told my mother, they said, you have a choice. Either you can go to hospice or you can go with your daughter. My mother was like, I don't want to go, because she was so scared to where she just sat at home and would rather die at home than to have to go to mm-hmm. a place like that. Me, I'm a little different, because my grandkids told me a long time ago, my oldest granddaughter told me, I said, I don't expect for my grandkids or my kids to take care of me. Put me in a place, but put me in a place that's clean, where I can play dominoes, where I can eat, where I can have fun, where I can enjoy my life, because I don't want them mistreating and abusing me. If you mistreating me now, I can imagine what you go treat me like when I get old and can't do nothing for myself. My granddaughter told me, when I told her that I didn't expect her or the other one to take care of me to be somebody else or a stranger or one of my step-grandchildren, she told me, well, the other one don't like you either. We putting you in a home. And I was like, okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So
well,
I want to start.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to say something really quick. It has been proven that when we put our elders or our seniors in these facilities, they tend to die quickly than if they were living in the home with loved ones. Their longevity of life is much longer mm-hmm. because they're loved, they're being cared for, and they're getting that stimulation that is mm-hmm. needed, whereas in these facilities, they're not getting that stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not having a reason to live.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to say something, because I'm going to play devil's advocate on this. Because sometimes it depends on your family members. Because I remember
that's
my
true,
mother used to say, you're not going to be sitting me over in the corner throwing a hamburger at me knowing I can't chew. And I remember even with my grandmother. And when my grandmother got to that age, I think she passed away at 90. It was either 89 or 90 when she passed away. And I would say, I would call her and say, how you doing, Grandma? oh, I'm dying. Oh, they don't feed me. Oh, I mean, she made it seem like she was getting treated so bad, which she wasn't. And I called one of my aunties in Ohio, and I was fussing at her. Grandma said she's hungry, and somebody needs to do something. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling Meal on Wheels, and I'm trying to reach out to all of these services because I was in Oceanside. She was in Compton. Wasn't much I can do, but I didn't want to see her go through that. But I knew it was a challenge, and I commend my auntie that did take care of her because she took her everywhere. You know, she needed to go and took her basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
So sometimes it can be good, and then some cases I've seen the person being mistreated. I've seen people where they've been taken advantage of because the family members don't want to be bothered. So a lot of it depends on the family, and it also you need some support. You need to have one. Yes. It's hard for one person to do it all by themselves. Now,
most
when we talk about when we talk about elder abuse, which is also the mistreatment or senior abuse or things that happen later in life, abuse of elder adults or older women or things of that nature. Sometimes, you know, it may be a single act or it could be a repeated act or lack of appropriate action occurring with any relationship where there's an expectation of the trust, which harms the distrust to the older person. Now, that definition was adopted by the World Health Organization. Now, it says it indicates in regards to the core element to the harm of elder abuse is the expectation of trust of the older person towards their abuser. Thus, it includes harm by people the older person knows or have a relationship with. Like I said, a spouse, a partner, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, or people that the older person relies on for services. Many forms of abuse are recognized, and like I said, when talking about the paid caregivers, things of that nature, and there are also people that prey on the elderly, which is a whole other
financial
issue.
Financial exploitation.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we're talking about muggings, people breaking in, and I mean, you know what? There are some senior citizens that do prefer living alone, you know? But the abuse by
elders,
they want
their independence. They
want their independence. Abuse by elders and caregivers is a worldwide issue. And it wasn't until 2002 that the HOW brought the national attention in regards to the issue of elder abuse. Now, we're talking about 2002. And that is sad because even prior to 2002, people were still being abused, neglected. Now, when we start talking about the abuse, now, although there are common themes of elder abuse across the nation, there are also unique manifestation, which is based upon history, culture, economic strength, societal perceptions of older people. And when we start talking about those types of abuse, let's start with physical. When you're hitting, punching, slapping, pushing, burning, restraining, false imprisonment, or giving excessive or improper medication, that is a problem. I remember a senior was telling me one time they were sleepy all the time. And what was happening was their granddaughter was giving them sleeping pills to keep her sleep all day so that they wouldn't have to take care of them. Or, you know, when she's not hungry because she sleeps. So, in false imprisonment, that is sad when you do that to a senior, especially someone who probably have perhaps wiped your butt when you was a kid growing up, and this is how you treat them. Now, and like I said, hitting seniors, you know, slap them upside the head, throwing stuff at them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cases in that,
I remember it was interesting because my mother-in-law, she passed away at 88. And I'll never forget one time, she used to sit there and rock and play like she couldn't hear. And I asked her one time, I said, Zitty, why are you doing this to these people and you know you hear what they be saying? She said, because if they think I can't hear, they go, I get to know what they up to. And I would just be like, oh my gosh. Now, they never put their hands on her physically because one of her granddaughters, she told her granddaughter that she'll kick her in the butt. And the granddaughter was like, you can't do nothing to me. You can't do nothing to me. She got close to that woman. That woman kicked her halfway across the room because she wasn't playing. But she was so afraid. But they still took advantage of her. So that's physical. Mm-hmm. The next is the psychological and emotional. Humiliating a person. People don't realize that even when they're sitting there and you're trying to humiliate the person, that's a common theme, and that's the perpetrator when they identify something that's a matter of the older person, or they start calling them name, constantly criticizing them, blaming them for things, or the nonverbal form, such as ignoring, silence, withdrawing affection.
Isolation.
And that was, that was one of the things that you said when, you know, you're talking about they get that stimulation. But if you're putting them in a room and nobody is checking on them, that's a problem. Ignoring them.
Yes,
you
it
hear
is.
Grandma in there calling you, and then you go act like you don't even hear her. So that's the psychological emotional. What do you think about that in regards to the psychological emotional view?
Well, it causes deterioration of that elder as well. It's a form of abuse, and it just shows that, especially within families, they when they isolate that individual and humiliating, that means that there's something deeper within that family realm. It could have been retaliation, things of that nature. And it's causing, and in a way of speaking, they're causing that elder person to pay for whatever abuse that they received.
Now, let's talk about the next one, because this one is a big one. And I'm going to go back to this one later on, because I saw a lot of this, too. And this is one of, besides just the other aspects of abuse, but this is one that is most popular, and that is financial abuse, also known as financial exploitation, involving misappropriation of financial resources by family members, caregivers, strangers, or the use of financial means to control the person or facilitate other types of abuse. When I said
that
this show was in honor of Zettie Mae Harvest and Edwin Adams, I want to start first with Edwin. Edwin was one of my board members because I am a therapist and I'm the owner of the Center for the Treatment of Addiction and J.A. Precious, and I have five different office locations that I work out of. And one of the things that I saw with him was when he developed dementia and he started repeating himself, one of the things he used to always do was brag about how much money he had. And that was because he was a very handsome man, but he grew up poor. And because he grew up poor, once he retired from the Navy, he was proud of himself. He was proud of his establishment. He was proud of the fact that he had an income and was making more money than he ever had. But as he got older, people started taking advantage of that. So what happened was a woman that was probably 30, 40 years younger than him married him. And the sad part about it, he didn't even know he was married. And I remember picking him up, taking him to, it was for Father's Day, I believe it was Father's Day in 2012. I took him out because I would always take him out for his birthday. I would always take him out for Father's Day because he was like a father to me. And one day I said, are you married? No, I'm not married. But he had a ring on and didn't even know he was married. I said, tell me the name of your wife. He told me. He never mentioned this girl's name. And it wasn't until his funeral that they started calling the woman his wife. I was so mad because I was like, I don't believe this thing that sat here and took advantage of an old man, took his house, sold his house, drained his bank accounts. And what got me was the day I picked him up, he said, I can't find my checkbook. She would take his checkbook, hide it from him. You know, and it was sad because his son would make calls to social services, would call the police. They was trying to do, he was trying to do whatever he could in his power, but it was the financial abuse. And you know, the bottom line is she's going to pay for what she did because that was so wrong. And it's like one of my pastors used to say, I don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in, but my mother used to say sick days and old age come to everybody. And and that was sad. That was so sad. And even at his funeral, I was just so hurt that he had to go out like that. I was so hurt. But I watched how he was afraid. I watched, and we're going to talk about the warning signs of when you know that your loved one is in trouble. And then with Miss Zettie, she had a granddaughter. I never forget this one time I went to Zeddy's house and Zeddy was rocking. She said, baby, they done changed my insurance policy. And if they want to fight over $10,000, God rest their soul. But she never told me who did it. Never told me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ask. And all I asked her was, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? She didn't want me to do
anything.
It's hard
for them to have anybody to trust.
She couldn't trust nobody. She put her granddaughter's name on her bank account.
Right.
That granddaughter wiped out all of her bank accounts.
Oh, my gosh.
They stopped paying on her burial insurance, knowing this woman was older. Then, for some reason, I was sitting in my office one day after she passed, and something made me look up and Google her name, and I saw that the deed on this woman's house had been changed. The grandchild stole the woman's property. And I was like, wow, how do you do that to your grandmother? You know, you done stole the house, you done stole the insurance policy, you done did all of this, and you think you're going to be blessed with that? It was sad. It was truly, truly sad.
Yeah.
And that one right there was hard for me because, and I'm going to give the listeners some information because that one was reported. And even with our governmental agencies, I mean, we're talking about reporting elder abuse.
Right,
I want
to
give some insight into how that works and what basically happened, because that was my first time ever really going through that and an investigation. And it's sad because a lot of times when police are the adult protective services are investigating elder abuse, they put that on a back burner. And it's sad. And that's why a lot of individuals think they can get away with it. But you're really not getting away with nothing. Now, the next one is sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is forcing a person to take part in any sexual activity without his or her consent, including forcing them to participate in conversation of sexual nature against their will. And it may also include situations where they're no longer able to give consent when they have dementia. Do you know that incest still exists even with elders? There are some individuals that have sex with their parents, make their parents do things to them sexually, and it's crazy. And then we have
it
the
is, and who are helpless, who can't defend themselves.
Correct. And then we have neglect. Neglect is depriving a person of proper medical treatment, food, heat, clothing, comfort, or essential medication, and depriving the person of needed services to force certain kinds of actions, financial otherwise. And neglect can also include leaving an at-risk person, meaning a person that's not able to take care of themselves, unattended, and the deprivation may be intentional, meaning active neglect, or it can happen out of lack of knowledge, which is passive neglect.
Right.
That's why I wanted people to hear this because, you know, when you know better, you do better. And if you feel that you can't care for your parent, grandparent, get some help. Don't do these things. And then we have abandonment. Deserting a dependent person with the intent to abandon them or leave them unattended at place for such a time or period as may be likely endanger their health and welfare. I remember one time Ms. Zeddy gave me a key to her house and her grandkids didn't know I had a key because I would ring the doorbell and they would get so mad at me. They didn't want to see me coming around because she would use me as her secret weapon and I would get so mad at her. But I was her secret weapon. So whenever they would gang up against her, she would call me or tell them to call me. Girl, they blocked my number off the phone. They did all kind of stuff to try to keep me away. But she'll call me, she'll send for me, and she'll tell me, baby, I just want to hear your voice. Or she'll want me to come spend a night. And I would get angry because it was like, Zeddy, you can fight back. Zeddy, you don't have to live like this. Zeddy, you don't. She didn't want to leave her house, you know, because I was willing to have her come stay with me, and I would have taken care of her. But I knew she was in a bad situation, so I had to let her do what she wanted to do. And it was so sad. Well, one time I got there, and I was ringing the doorbell. Nobody answered. I stuck my key in the door, and the woman was sitting there in the dark, scared the hell out of me. And not only was she sitting there in the dark, she hadn't ate in days, just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And Zeddy was one that loved to cook. And I had some food with me because I always keep food with me. You know I keep food everywhere. So here's some of my food. And I told her I was going out to eat and I would bring her something back. But that just broke my heart that this woman didn't even get up and turn the light on. She was sitting in the dark. So now when we talk about rights and abuse, denying civil and constitutional rights of a person who is old but not declared by the court to be mentally incapacitated, this is an aspect of elder abuse that is increasingly being recognized and adopted by the nation. So basically, people are now becoming more aware of it. And also, you know, programs, things of that nature. And then some people will say, well, it was self-neglect, or the person wouldn't let me take care of them, or the person wanted to die, or the person didn't want to eat, or the person didn't want to take a bath, which is self-neglect. Now, one of the things when we talk about self-neglect, sometimes the senior citizen or the older person may just get so tired and they do want to just give up because they don't know what else to do. So even if you're looking at self-neglect, or you're looking at the fact that the person is deteriorating, you know, you need to basically do something about it. Now, Christine, based on some of the things that I said, not even mention domestic violence, and we want to throw that one out there too, because some of the elder abuse is domestic violence. And individuals don't realize if your parent, a grandparent is married and over the age of 65 and there is victim of domestic violence, that is also considered elder abuse if they're over the age of 65.
Right.
And and they don't even know that. They'll say, well, that's their business, or, you know, my father did this, or my mother did this, or they don't realize that that still falls under elder abuse based on one's age. Now, we have 33 minutes left on the show. And again, if you want to call in, if you want to share your story, the number to call is 516-387-1914, and you can join us in this conversation. Now, Christy, I want to give the listeners some risk factors. There are several risk factors that actually increase the likelihood that an elderly person will become victim of elder abuse. Now, sometimes we'll say, okay, well, who is capable of becoming a victim? Who's not capable of becoming a victim? Now, the thing is, there are risk factors. If that person has memory problems, such as dementia, and it's sad because the diagnosis of dementia is also on the rise. If an individual has physical disabilities, that can be a problem. If they have depression, loneliness, or lack of social support. If they abuse alcohol or other substances, or if they are verbally or physically combative with caregivers. And that's one of the things that I'm not saying that it's high in residential facilities or assisted living facilities, but sometimes there are some seniors who become verbally or physically combative. But you, if that's your job, you need to basically become, no, realize you're the professional and they need your help and not abuse the other person. Or if the person has a shared living situation. There's also other several factors which increase the likelihood that the caregiver will participate in elder abuse, and such risk factors include the person feels overwhelmed or resentful. If the person has a history of substance abuse or a history of abusing others, don't let them take care of grandma or grandpa. And, you know, growing up in Compton, Chrissy, that was something that I saw too. A lot of the seniors that I saw and they grew up in my neighborhood, their kids and their adult children were on drugs. How are you going to take care of your parent and you can't even take care of yourself? That was a problem in my community. What do you think about that? Can you hear me, Christy? Okay, I don't know if I lost Christy or not. So the next one is, which can be a risk factor, is a dependent or the older person is basically is having issues with finances. If you got the person caring for your mother, father that's a senior, and you know that they're having their own financial difficulties, please be aware and look out for financial abuse of your person that you love, because they're, you know, that's an issue. If the person is unemployed, if the person has mental health problems, or if the person has a criminal history. Now, as we know, like I said, these risk factors are some of the things that we do need to pay attention to. And we have to pay attention to those issues for several different reasons. And like I said, and that's because that kind of put us more at risk of our loved one being abused. Now, I'm going to check my email and see if anyone has emailed me to have any questions in regards to this, because I did receive some information on Facebook, and I wanted to read basically what the person had sent me. Because I, when I'm on Facebook, and I know I don't be wanting to bother people with this and putting all of this information out there, but I'm trying to find a way to connect with other individuals just to share information. And as I put that information out there about today's topic, there were some individuals that were very grateful and that were very pleased with the information, because they were like, you know, wow, somebody care enough. And one of the things, and she asked me to go on FaceTime and put it on there. And her name is Barbara Nolte. So Barbara Nolte, I am going to read what you sent me, because I did also post it on my Facebook. She said, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And she basically was going on into, she wanted to know what station, she wanted to know what time, she also wanted to know if she can join me. So I did give her the information, and what she indicated was that a lot of people need to hear it. And she said, please, basically she said that she was one of these elderly people, and she indicated that she's 69 years old, and she's also, she said her mother also is involved, where I guess her mother is a victim of elder abuse. And she just was praising him and thank you, God, and thank you, Jesus, basically that somebody is listening. And I want to say, Tisha, I did just see your text, so leave me alone. So, because when I turn 65, I'm calling Popo on you too. So when we talk about things of that nature and in regard to that, okay, thank you. I wonder where you went.
I know you
got to
work.
Okay. You at work already? Okay.
Yes. Love you. Bye.
Right. Okay, bye. Just take care of the children. Bye. Okay.
Okay, bye.
So, again, I want to give you some warning signs that are exhibited by the elder. Now, these are some of the warning signs that if you go to visit your mother and you know that your siblings are taking care of your mother, or, you know, your mother is or your father is in a living facility, things of that nature, these are some of the things that you need to look for. If they say that they are being abused, listen to them. If you see visible bruises, such as cuts, scratches that are not logically explained, just listen and believe what they're telling you. If your person or your elder, your mother, your father, seem to be dependent, passive, confused, or afraid, if you see noticeably unkept soiled clothing, dirty hair, or that they're sitting in urine, if they're overly fearful, untrusting, withdrawn, timid, depressed, or if they basically have the suspect speak for the victim. If you go talk to your mother or your father and they never get to say anything, because every time they get ready to say something, somebody else to start speaking for them, pay attention to that. If you see that they're very ambivalent, isolated, tearful, agitated, if you see that they're sleepy all the time, confused, passive, hesitant to speak freely, or fully denies being victimized, or they're guarded, those are things to, like I said, those are definitely warning signs. There's also signs exhibited by the caregiver, the offender or suspect. If you notice that the person has a history of violence, aggressiveness, or display controlling personality, if they don't allow the elder to speak for himself, if they're reluctant to let you in the home, like I said, that was one of the things that I saw with Ms. Zeddy. They would try their best to lock me out, but didn't even realize I had a key. So that was on them. The next one is if you suspect alcohol or drug abuse, if you notice that there's some hostility towards the interviewer and the visitors, verbal abuse of the elder, isolation of the elder, lack of concern about the elder, and refusal to spend money on the victim's care, which was another issue. Failure to pay bills when they're due or at all. When Ms. Zeddy passed, we found out her water bill, gas bill was like 3 months behind. And that was sad because The money was in her account, but the grandbaby decided not to pay the bills. If you see that there's basically depression, no visible means of support, unusual interest in the amount of money spent on the care, promise of lifelong care in return for signing over property, removing an elder who needs skilled nursing from an appropriate facility, caregiver always present during the interviews, caregiver lacks understanding of the elder's needs. If you start seeing that the person that's supposed to be caring ain't never at home or on vacation, and the disappearance of elder's papers, credit cards, checkbook, or valuables, or believes too much money is being spent on the elder. And that means that they're trying to wait to try to pocket the money themselves. That is a problem. Now, let me check my email and see what I have going on here. Okay, I got an email, and it says, I suspect that my mother is being abused by my brother. My mother is 70 years old. My brother is, he smokes pot all day, but we left him in care of our mother. What can I do? Now, I don't have nobody else on the phone with me, so I got to answer this question by myself. One of the things that I would say is if you see this, first of all, if he is using drugs, he shouldn't be the one caring for your parent in the first place, because you guys got to find either someone to come in and do either live-in care or in-home care, or, you know, find another family member to have the time to be able to take care of her. You can also call Adult Protective Services, which is an agency that you can call if you suspect that your loved one is a victim of abuse. By the number to call for Adult Protective Services is 800-510-2020. Again, the number to call for Adult Protective Services is 800-510-2020. I also want to say that in regards to caregiving, as I was doing my homework to get this information out here, I remember hearing about AARP. So giving a little plug out to AARP. I remember my auntie used to tell me about AARP. I get mad. I'd be like, I don't want to have nothing to do with AARP. I'm not old. I don't want that. But when I found out you get discounts at Denny's and for food and stuff like that, I was like, hey, I like AARP now. But if you go to AARP's website, they have a quiz for caregivers. And the caregiver's quiz gives you a lot of information to determine if an individual is capable and qualified to provide caregiving. So one of the things we have to do is we basically have to interview, evaluate, and determine the appropriateness of the person that we're leaving our elders with. If you're not going to leave your kid with a person that's abusive, why would you leave your parent or a loved one with a person that is abusive or putting them in danger? So, caller, I hope that answers your question. Okay. Again, if you want to call and join me in a conversation, call 516-387-1914. Now, I want to transition a little bit in regards to financial exploitation. When we talk about elder abuse and how elders are basically being abused financially, a lot of times, like I said, it is by stealing a person's property, stealing money out their bank account, you know, things of that nature. But the financial exploitation seniors go through, it also involves unauthorized use of elderly persons' funds or properties, either by caregivers or by an outside scam artist. Scam artists use our seniors as a target. Now, what happens is, there can be a misuse of elders' personal check, credit cards, or account. People can steal cash, income checks, or household goods. They can forge the elder's signature. And that was really one that was interesting, because we noticed that when the deed was changed on Ms. Zetti's home, the punk bank didn't know how to spell the woman's middle name. So that was a mess. So we knew that was done. And they also engaged the person in identity theft. And the typical rackets that target elders includes the announcement of a prize that the elderly person has won but must pay money to claim the prize. Phony charities. A lot of times our senior citizens are ones that normally have done a lot for the community. They've given to the community. And as they've given to the community, they don't realize sometimes that they get these calls from these phony charities. And also investment fraud by trying to get senior citizens to invest in things that are not real or not accurate. So those are some of the things that are financial exploitation. Another area that we look into is healthcare and abuse fraud. One of the things that we, and, you know, we got this, the passing of the, where they're trying to discontinue the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and a lot of our seniors are very upset, and rightfully so, because one of the things is don't underestimate a person. Some people do read, and some people do know that some things that every time they say is good for you, are good people are good to you, they're not always good for you. Now, with the healthcare fraud and abuse, sometimes that is carried out by unethical doctors, nurses, hospital personnel, and other professional care providers. Examples of healthcare fraud and abuse regarding elders include not providing healthcare, but charging for it. You know, a lot of times people think that the person don't pay attention to their mail. And sometimes if they have a responsible adult child or a responsible adult friend, which, like I said, Ms. Zeddy and Edwin would use me for, I would look at that stuff and be like, wait a minute, this ain't making no sense. Or they'll call me, Jeanette, can you take care of this? Jeanette, can you look into that? Which I didn't have a problem with doing all of that. So, again, not providing health care but charging for it is something that happens. Overcharging or double billing for medical care services. Getting kickback for referrals to others, providers for prescribing other certain drugs, over-medicating, under-medicating, recommending fraudulent remedies for illnesses or other medical conditions, and Medicaid fraud. Those are some of the things that a lot of times individuals don't even pay attention to, but it is definitely happening. Now, we have 18 minutes left on the show, and I want to give the information or give the listeners some insight into basically if you see these things happening. Now, one of the things, like I said, is we can report elder abuse. And a lot of times what happens is, you know, the elder will either say, baby, it's going to be okay, or, you know, they don't want to either testify if they're still alive or if they pass. I learned that they say that if a person has passed away, they can't be a witness. But sometimes what happens is sometimes people leave a paper trail. So if you are an elder who is being abused, neglected, or exploited, one of the things I want to say to you is tell at least one person. Tell your doctor, a friend, a family member whom you trust. Or call one of the helplines listed that I can give you the information for. Or if you see an elder adult being abused or neglected, please, 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 please don't hesitate to report the situation. Don't assume that someone else will take care of it or that the person being abused is capable of getting help if he or she really needs it. Because many seniors don't report the abuse they face, even if they're able. And there's a lot of reason why. So I'm going to give you the information why. Part of it is because some fear retaliation from the abuser, meaning if they know that they need that person's help, or they believe that that person is taking care of them, they don't want to be retaliated against. And others believe that if they turn in their abusers, no one else will take care of them. And when the caregiver are either their children, their grandchildren, sometimes they're ashamed. And by being ashamed, they're ashamed that their children are behaving abusively or blame themselves for the behavior. Meaning, if I'd been a better parent or if I was younger, you know, this wouldn't be happening. Or they just don't want their children that they love to be in trouble with the law. But I used to say, like Beretta used to say, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Because, like I'm going to say again, like my mother used to say, sick days and old age come to all of us, so keep living. So how do I report the abuse? For a list of helplines to call in your county, you can go to what's called the resource reference section. Or you can also call 211. You can call Adult Protective Services, because it is their role to investigate abuse cases, to intervene and offer services and advice. Now, although the power and scope of Adult Protective Services vary from state to state, whenever you are reporting elder abuse, there are some important things that you need to remember to ensure that you're able to communicate effectively in different situations. So I'm giving you some tips. Try to be specific as you can in your description. And when I say be specific, a lot of times what happens is in these cases, it becomes so emotional, and we speak based on our emotions versus providing a lot of the facts. And if you're a mandated reporter, you should know if you're in the field of social services or if you're involved in healthcare, you are a mandated reporter, by meaning that you have to report child abuse, dependent adult abuse, elder abuse, suicidality, homicide, things of that nature. So you should know the laws in regards to that, or you should consult with your supervisor if you're not clear in regards to that. But if you're just a regular citizen and you're calling to report it, you don't need hard evidence to report abuse. And in many situations, abuse can be basically subtle or it can happen gradually. However, the more specific details you can provide, the clearer the picture of the abuse can become. For an example, if you worry that your neighbor is not taking care of himself, instead of reporting, you can basically indicate or, you know, call someone and try to take care of him yourself. If you notice that your neighbor wears the same outfit over and over again, or is looking very dirty, or keep coming to the door smelling like urine and feces, or the house smells like urine and feces, call and let them know. That was one of the things that was told about Edwin. There was people reporting that he would be standing outside by the streetlight, or, you know, when I would pick him up, he had a foul odor on him. Another thing that bothered me with that situation was the person that married him put cameras in the house, and people was afraid to go over there because whenever people would go, she would either show up, but she never showed up when I came because I was sure waiting on her to come over there while I was there, but he didn't ever want to leave the house. But that was her way of controlling him. But then yet, like I said, his son was concerned about his hygiene because he would never let himself get like that. Tip number two, understand that the elder does have a right to refuse services. As painful as it may be, unless the elder no longer has the mental capacity to make their own decision, he or she does have the right to refuse help. A senior may refuse to be admitted or being abused, you know, in regards, like I said, afraid that the caregiver will retaliate or because they're worried who's going to take care of them. So remember, refuse the services. A lot of times it's because they're afraid. So I'm going to give you some information in regards to some of the things you can do. You can take them on a tour to an assisted living or other facilities without any immediate pressure to move or help dispel the myth or eradicate the eldest person's fear about moving, because a lot of people are afraid of leaving their home, and rightfully so, because many of them have worked hard for what they have. But you can reduce that anxiety and that fear by saying, hey, let's go take a tour. Let's go see what it's like. You know, let them know that you still have some power and you have some control. Offer services on a trial basis can also help the elders see the positive changes that they have made and be more open to change. For an example, if self-neglect is an issue, encourage them to try housekeeping, you know, for a month. You can do the meal delivery services a few weeks. You can do whatever you can to try to help the person if they still want to be and remain independent. Also, keeping the elder adult caregiver connected to support services. If you are connected and if there is support, that also reduces the feelings of isolation and depression. Because two major risk factors of elder abuse is isolation and depression. And also, the more support there is for the elder and the caregiver, the more eyes there will be to watch any of the warning signs of abuse. And if a family member is the caregiver, is suspected of abuse, or other family members may have the best chance of convincing the older adult to consider alternative care. So those are some of the things, like I said, that you can do in regards to help them understand their rights. The next one is eyes and ears open. If future incidents of abuse continue to happen, call and report them. Each elder abuse report is a snapshot of what is going on, and the more information you can provide, the better chance that the elder will have to get their level of care or their needs met. Older adults can be increasingly isolated from society, and when they isolate or are isolated, it makes it very difficult. Now, I want to say, with elder abuse in the home, there is strength in numbers. And like I said, also the elder can be having feelings of shame and they try to keep it hidden. So one of the things I want to say is when we know better, we do better. And I hope that this show is being very helpful. And I also want to give you guys some more information. And this basically has to do with reporting or stopping elder abuse. And I have another number. And this number is, in the United States, it is 800-677-1116. I know that some of my listeners are from other countries. If you are in the UK, it is 080-8808-8141, and it's indicated for actions on elder abuse. In Australia, 1300-651-192. I have information for South Africa, which is 0800-333-213. And in Canada, you can call 310-1818, or you can visit what's called Alberta Elder Abuse, and it will also give you other information. Now, I have 8 minutes and 41 seconds left on the air. So if you want to call in and you want to share a story or what you've experienced, please feel free to do so. I am more than willing to listen to what you have to say if you have any questions. And I also want to say and give information out there that you can also call an attorney. And there are also attorneys that you can contact that can basically help you this, and it's one of the attorney's information that I found, and he's located in the state of California, and he also has firms in other states, and including Hawaii and Georgia and Arizona, and his name is Attorney Garcia. The number to reach him, and it says, if you suspect your loved one is a victim of abuse, you can give them a call. And they also have in regards to where you can also report the facility, if you believe that your loved one is in a facility and is displaying signs of abuse, it is very critical to report that again right away. But you can also contact the numbers. I think it's called Embumbus or Numbers. But in order to reach Attorney Garcia, he can be reached at 800-281-8515. And again, it is not your job to investigate. They will investigate. And because there are also warning signs of nursing in regards to nursing home abuse, because when nursing homes, which my guest that was on the air with me, nearly 1 in 10 nursing homes violate the requirements, potentially causing resident harm, serious injuries, or possible death. And like I said, and that's one of the reasons why most of our seniors are now so afraid of going into a facility, because they go in with that idea of, these people don't care about me, these people don't, you know, they don't know me, or things of that nature. And a lot of that stuff is basically what we call a learned behavior. So again, you can contact Attorney Garcia, and then he can also, you know, like I said, they can look into it and they can find out what they can do. Now, I want to share in regards to our last few minutes that we have on the air, and I want to give that are you that have basically stepped up to the mark, took care of their aging parent or their, you know, their loved ones. I truly commend them, because I don't want this to be a show that's basically negative in regards to the bad things that are happening to our seniors, because there are some individuals that provide the care that deal with a lot on a day-to-day basis. And one of the things I want to say is learn how to also manage your stress and develop a support system for you too. Because this can be a job that basically pays less, but is very rewarding, especially when you see that glow in that senior's eyes of knowing I can trust you and you care about me. I remember, and I will never forget, going to visit Ms. Zetti in she was in basically rehab, but to her it was a senior citizen's home, and she did not appreciate that. And she would want me to come, and I thought I was about to kidnap her and rescue her and get her out of the facility. And she would be in there, and, you know, and her son didn't want her in there with all them other people screaming and hollering. And then after that, she started being the one screaming and hollering. But I remember one time I went in her room, and she was telling me how some of those people was treating her. And I remember she called me in the room. I was sitting there basically. And one of the ladies walked in. She looked the lady in the face. She said, "Baby, why are you so mean?" And just the way she said it, it was letting the woman know, why are you treating people like this? The young lady tried to deny it because I guess I was sitting there. But the bottom line was, the young lady probably was going through some things herself. But by that same token, it didn't mean that she had to abuse or be abusive or even let the people feel that they, you know, that she didn't care. So again, if you want to call, give me a call. And like I said, if you are to one that is helping or caring for an elder, there are some things, like I said, you got to do to help relieve your stress. And I really wish my God, brother, Mr. Blackwell would call me, because I know he got something to say, but I haven't heard from him basically. So again, go online, Google, look things up, try to find you an outlet, try to find you a stress reliever, try to get you also some support in order to help you to be able to help those that are in need and depending on you. Because without those that are caring for others, we really, really be in a lot of trouble. Now, in my last few minutes, I want to provide some information, because I got an email, and the email basically wanted, it says on here, "My parents fight constantly, and I don't know what to do. As an adult child, I don't want to be a part of their marriage, but how can I help my mother understand that she is in a domestic violence situation?" Okay. To the person that sent this, I want to say that, as we know, domestic violence do not discriminate in regards to how old you are, your ethnicity, your financial situation, or things of that nature. And when you see domestic violence in senior citizens, it is one of those things where it's still the same thing, whether it is emotional abuse, financial abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And a lot of times we don't know what to do when our parents are in an abusive relationship. But one of the things I would say is to the person, the abuse was probably already happening before they turned 65. So one of the things that you can do is you can educate your mother. She probably don't want to leave the home. You know, you can get a protective order against your father and try to get your father some help. And with the emergency protective order, that may help, temporary restraining order. But again, they probably don't want you in the middle of it. But education, education, education. Education is the key. Again, when we know better, we do better. Okay, I have 60 seconds left on the show. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope that you got some very valuable information as it relates to stopping elder abuse, because it do needs to stop. Also, classes that individuals can take, just like the Batterers Intervention Program, the Child Abuse Program. Many counties also offer classes and assistance for elder abuse, meaning that if a person has been convicted of elder abuse, they can also refer them to a 52-week elder abuse program, which teaches conflict resolution skills, but also teaches them what elder abuse is about. It's best that you enroll into one of these programs on your own without being referred by the court, because what you don't want is a criminal record following you where you have been arrested or convicted for elder abuse. Now, next week's show is going to basically have to do with parental guilt. And when we talk about parental guilt, a lot of parents feel a lot of guilt in regards to their children. A lot of adults are handicapping their parents. So join me next week at Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments as I, along with my guests, try to help parents address some of the guilt that they are going through as it relates to parenting their adult children or their teenage children by releasing, exploring, and getting rid of their parental guilt. Blog Talk Radio with Jeanette Abney. Thank you very much for listening. Have a blessed day.